in their service to God. Sometimes parents do everything right and a child is unfaithful. Sometimes a parent does everything wrong and a child is faithful. Ezekiel said, "The soul that sins, it shall die." That's in Ezekiel 18. And he very plainly emphasizes that each individual will be judged by the content of his or her character. And each of us, we choose to be faithful to God. It's not the fault of your parents. It's not the fault of anyone except you. Ultimately, you are responsible. Doesn't mean that as parents, we don't have the God-given responsibility of training our children. Even as Paul says in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. At some point, though, our kids become adults, and they don't live in our homes anymore. They grow up. They sprout wings. They take flight. And sometimes they don't do exactly the way we would like them to. Have you ever been in an assembly when someone's name is called out? Their unfaithfulness to the Lord is publicly documented. And you have this deep sadness in your heart. We kind of wag our heads and feel the pain and discouragement and disappointment and hope that somehow that will be turned around. But it's important that we do this as a church. But let's bring it home a little closer. Have you ever had a son or a daughter's name read? A spouse or even a parent's name read? How do you respond to that? What do you do? Now, I want you to look with me here in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 14 and 15. Paul writes, "If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that man and do not associate with him so that he may be put to shame. And yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." Do you like having to discipline your children? No, we don't. What do we say sometimes whenever our kids were younger especially? We say, this spanking I'm about to give you is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And of course the kid's thinking to himself, yeah, right. These words are not optional. What Paul has said to us in these verses is, you need to, first of all tonight, he says, you need to withdraw fellowship. And these are not optional. These are absolutely commanded. And so he says, take note of anyone who does not obey what we have said in this letter. Paul is an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He represents the Lord. It's as if the Lord himself said this. And so Paul repeatedly appealed to the authority of his apostleship at the close of 2 Corinthians, where he had had a very embattled argument about his apostleship. He says, "My use of the authority that the Lord has given me," at the opening of his letter to the Galatians. He was dealing with the same kind of an issue, emphasizing that his gospel is the one true gospel because he received it not from man, not through man, but from the Lord, from Jesus Christ himself. And so what Paul has written here is authoritative. And we need to respond to that, respond to it in this way. Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul has talked about those who were lazy in verse 10. Anyone who does not work, neither let him eat. There were those who were busybodies, who were leading undisciplined lives. And then there are those in verse 14 he describes as simply disobedient, outright disobedient. Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians 5, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul lists other sins that people commit. And here in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul is saying you need to deliver such a one to Satan. What are some of those sins? Verse 11, there are those who are immoral, covetous, idolaters, a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler. Listen to this. Not even to eat with such a one. This is serious business. Go back with me to verse 6. Paul is talking about how this church, and you know this well, having studied 1 Corinthians, you know that they're putting up with a man who is doing something in the church. A member of the church at Corinth is doing something that is not even spoken of in the world. He is sleeping with his father's wife. We assume this is a stepmother. But it is disastrous. It is a terrible situation. And so what Paul says in verse 6 is you're boasting. You're boasting in essence, and you need to do something about it. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, just as you are, in fact, unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Christ didn't die on the cross so that we could continue to have sin permeating our lives, is what Paul is certainly saying in these verses. There is an action that it needs to be taken by a church. And so Paul says, I've decided in verse 5 to deliver such a one to Satan. Their response was to kind of put up with it and more than that, marvel at it and tolerate it, even brag about it, he says in verse 6. Paul says, you've got to do something about this. You've got to address this issue. Remember when Jesus talked about conflict in a church or when somebody is not living right or there's a conflict and somebody has wronged another? He says in Matthew 18, verse 17, take it to the church. Well, look at verse 5. Paul says, I have decided to deliver such a one to Satan. I mentioned that now 3 times. What does that mean? For the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. He's using figurative language to say we need to withdraw our fellowship from this person. Why are we going to do this, he says. Because we want the person to repent. And so we know that that's the end result. But it must start with actually withdrawing from someone. This is important. But it also needs to be done with the right attitude. When you withdraw fellowship, remember, it is about love. It is showing someone how much we love them. When you discipline your children, are you doing it because you hate them? No, the exact opposite. You're disciplining them because you love them. And the proverb writer says there that. He says, whoever spares his rod hates his son. You spare the rod, you're actually demonstrating that you don't care about the kid. And so it is in the New Testament church. Churches that do not practice church discipline, in essence, in keeping with this proverb, hate the one who is caught up in sin. No one here is forced to be here. Teenagers may be saying, speak for yourself. No, we're volunteers, as it were. We're here because we want to be here. You can't make somebody assemble with the saints. You just can't do that. You can't force them. And when somebody doesn't want to live right, but they want to keep coming and have the benefits of church membership, there's a conflict. And the church is left without a choice. When it comes to church discipline, we don't have a choice. We must withdraw because it is commanded by God. And this is to protect the church. As we've already seen, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We need to get rid of the leaven. Need to get rid of the cancer. Now, this isn't fun. I don't like talking about this sort of thing. As Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 14, we are doing this so that they may be ashamed. This needs to be done in love. Because number two this evening, consider with me what Paul is saying. We need to withdraw fellowship. But secondly, we are always, always trying to get them to come back. Anyone who is withdrawn from by this church, it is out of love. It is after a whole lot of effort has been made already. And this is a last resort. Paul says, 2 Thessalonians 3:14, take note of that person. Have nothing to do with them. Why? The reason why is because when somebody continues to enjoy the relationship and there's no pain, then they're not going to bother to repent. Somebody needs to be ashamed. Paul says we need to motivate them to come back. I want to emphasize again, this is a last resort, not the first resort. This eldership has practiced church discipline. Even now, there are those who are not faithful to the Lord, who are not going elsewhere. They're just not going anywhere. And what they're doing behind the scenes is working with these folks, talking to them. And there will reach a time when they're going to have to exercise church discipline. But the effort, whether it's talking to them or whether it's actually withdrawing from them, is always to try to get them to come back. There's an effort that is made before they're disciplined, when they're disciplined, and after they're disciplined. I'm going to mention a verse here from Galatians. Galatians 6 doesn't talk specifically about withdrawal, but it's really talking about people before they get too far down the road. Galatians 6 verse 1 says, brethren, if any man is caught up in a trespass, withdraw fellowship from him. No, that's not what he says. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. We're in this together. We're volunteers, members of this local church. We are banded together because we have a common Father, our common relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have been baptized and in His name and have our sins covered by His blood. We all enjoy that. And what we are to do is to continue to be faithful to the Lord. Sometimes people don't. All of us struggle. Every single one of us. But we're not here to hurt each other. We're here to help each other. Bear one another's burdens. It's interesting in verse 5 of Galatians 6, Paul does go on to say each one is going to have to bear his own load. We're here to help each other. But ultimately, it is your responsibility to be faithful to the Lord. I want you to go back with me to 2 Thessalonians 3. We said that what we're trying to do is get someone to come back. And so Paul lays down the ultimatum. He says, here is discipline. Just like you discipline your child, sometimes you need to discipline church members. And so he says, do not associate with them, that he may be put to shame. And yet, verse 15, do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Let's say you're in the grocery store and you see someone who has been withdrawn from or they're struggling with their faith and they haven't been in attendance in a while. No official action has been taken. What do you do? Oh, I think I'll go this way instead with my buggy. No. That's going to be a great opportunity for us to let them know how much we miss them. To let them know how much we love them. There's a big difference between being nice to someone and actually condoning their sinful behavior. We're not approving of what they've done. But what we're trying to do is help them, encourage them to come back to the Lord. We are always trying to get them to come back. Some churches don't practice church discipline because it's not fun. It's not pleasant. And it seems to be rather rude or harsh. But remember that proverb. He who spares the rod hates his child. And so we are doing this out of love. And when we see them, we're going to be kind to them, loving toward them. And so I want to see thirdly and finally tonight, as we talk about withdrawing fellowship, but yet still loving people who aren't here, you need to never act like nothing's happened. You're still going to love them. You're still going to be concerned for them, but we can't treat them like nothing happened. We've looked at 2 Thessalonians 3 a little bit. We've looked at 1 Corinthians 5. I'm going to go back there. 1 Corinthians 5. I want to look at a statement that is made in verse 11. Paul says, I've told you not to associate not just with that one fella living in sin, but not to associate with any so-called brother, New American Standard says, if he should be an immoral person or covetous or an idolater. Not even to eat with such a person. Now you couple that with Paul's statement in 2 Thessalonians 3:15 that we are to not treat them as an enemy. So what are we doing here? Eating in this first century world was very important. It's important to us too. Yeah, sitting down and eating a meal with someone, but Paul isn't talking about just a chance encounter or a casual association with someone. In our vernacular, we might describe this as a prolonged contact with someone, an interaction with them that in essence condones what they are doing. Verse 9, though, says we are not to associate with someone who is immoral, living an immoral life, and yet claims to be a Christian. And so, by way of summary, let's look at a couple of the verses that we've looked at tonight. Let's look at them again. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or these other sins. Not even to eat with such a one. Why are we doing that? Because we want them to come back to the Lord. And that's the only purpose in doing that. Not to punish them, but to encourage them to wake up and come back to the Lord. And then again, in 2 Thessalonians 3:14, Paul says, take note of that person who does not obey what we say in this letter. Have nothing to do with him. Or as some translations say, the same word is the point I'm trying to make here. 1 Corinthians 5:11 has the same word as 2 Thessalonians 3:14. Do not associate with him. Why? To punish them? No, that he may be ashamed. Because what we want is for them to come back. To come back to the Lord. There are those who go from one church to another faithful church. That's not what we're talking about at all, is it? We're talking about somebody who is a member of this church family. And they stop attending anywhere. I want you to look with me at one last passage tonight. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Normally we look at these verses and talk about the relationship of husbands and wives, but in this context, and that's true. That's exactly what Peter is getting at. But what's interesting is he talks about a home life situation where the wife is obviously a believer, but the husband is not. And I want to think about how it is that the wife interacts with her non-believing husband. Because, you know, it's easy to say, oh, don't associate with that person. But what if you live with them? What if they're right there in your home? What are you going to do? You're not going to treat it as if nothing has happened. It's there. And so in 1 Peter 3, beginning of verse 1, we read, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. And so he's got the husband-wife relationship being discussed here, the submissiveness of the wife. But make sure, especially, that you're submissive. Why? So that they may be won without a word by your example, as they observe, verse 2, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. We're going to have relationships with people that aren't faithful to the Lord. We're going to see them. We're going to interact with them. It may be that we live with them. We can never treat them as if nothing's happened. We can never stop loving them, because we must always love the missing, because we want them to come back to the Lord. For the past 18 months, we have had a visitation group. Zeke called it InReach, Reaching In, and so that name stuck. And right now we're going to stop it. And here's why. Because from week to week, we have the same names over and over. People who aren't attending. Some of them, they're not attending anywhere. And those are the ones we're especially focused on. Those of you who have been involved in this visitation group, some of you, we've talked about this. And you're like, no, we can't stop it. Well, we're going to reevaluate it. Every single person that we have had on this list week after week after week, the eldership is fully aware of it. And you may not know this. You may. But they are in contact with every one of those folks. They have gone to their homes and sat down with many of these folks. We want to continue to do that. There have been successes. There have been those who have been shamed into coming back. And that's how it works. But what we have to do as a church is understand that our commitment is to the Lord, not to our friends, not to our family. It's to the Lord. He comes first. And this is going to help this church remain pure and strong. And we hope that they'll come back. Again, I know this is not pleasant or fun. But what we want is to serve the Lord and to please Him. That is our ultimate goal. And somebody who has wandered away from the fold, we want them to come back. So let's say somebody does come back. What are we going to do? They're going to come forward. Perhaps that's what they're going to do, to let everyone know that they are repenting of their poor attendance or sinful behavior. And then we're just going to twist them under our thumb and be mean to them. No. We're going to do what the Lord described in Luke 15, when something was lost and it was found. Rejoice. We're going to rejoice with the angels in heaven over a sinner that repents, or a son or daughter who comes home. And I hope that we'll understand and appreciate the Lord's plan in a local church. We're all in this together. And that we'll also appreciate that we serve a God who loves us so much that even though we were sinners, when we were sinners, He sent His Son to die for us. It is that same loving Heavenly Father who is prescribing to us church discipline. He wants every single one of us to be faithful to the Lord. For those of you who are, that's great. We need to bear each other's burdens. We need to help each other out. And as we close tonight, I hope that each one of us will look in our hearts and determine if we are faithful to the Lord. Your attendance tonight is certainly a good indication of that. But there may be some sin that no one knows about except you. And I hope that you'll repent of that and ask God to help you. If you've never obeyed the gospel, we're about to sing a song of invitation. And I hope that someone will respond tonight to become a member of the Lord's church. We hope that you'll want to be part of a church family like Eastside, if that is the choice you make. But whatever your heart's need is, whatever your soul's desire is, we are pleading with you to put the Lord first. And if we can help you, please make your way to the front right now. Let's stand and let's sing.